G'day guys, welcome back to the Inner City Hermit podcast. A little bit of a different intro today, as you guys can probably tell. Well, those listening to the audio, you're probably used to this. You know how it is. If you like the content, if you like everything that podcast is about, go over to YouTube. Make sure you hit subscribe at the YouTube channel. Go follow me on Instagram at Inner City Hermit. And of course, go over and give us a like on Facebook. Inner City, God, I get so stressed because I'm on camera. Inner City Hermit Podcast. Okay, excellent. I'm there. I'm good. My guest today is one of my really, really, really good friends, Kate Riordan. She is currently living in Japan at the moment. We just chatted kind of everything that's going on in terms of coronavirus in Japan, as well as just some general stuff about, you know, moving and living in Japan as an Australian. So pretty interesting stuff. It was a funny one because we were obviously on Zoom. It was very hard. Well, it wasn't very hard, but it was a bit different doing the whole Zoom thing. But I felt like it went really well, and me and Kate, we were super happy with it. So without further ado, you know what it is. It's the Inner City Hermit Podcast with Kate Riordan. Roll that intro and let's just get this shit going. G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit. You would have just heard the intro that I've done to Kate, but we finally have Kate on the podcast.
Hi!
So Kate is obviously living in Japan. You were actually supposed to be here with me like during this month.
I think last week we had it planned that I was meant to come onto the podcast in Brisbane, but obviously I'm still in Japan, so
man, that's crazy. So obviously things have changed, so we've had to work out how the fuck to use Zoom, because
yes,
I've got no idea how to use it, you don't know how to use it, and we're just fucking hoping that everything's okay.
So firstly
obviously with all the corona stuff going on, like, how's Japan looking at the moment? Because obviously, like, you're close to China, like, I don't know how things are going, like, what's everything like over there?
To be honest, it's not as bad as the rest of the world. And I think that purely comes down to the fact that the government has been really sketchy about the information that they've been giving us. It's only now starting to get a little bit worse. There's more cases coming about, which is weird, because as soon as they announced that the Olympics would be postponed, that's when they were like, oh, there's like 150 new cases that just magically popped up. And so everyone's a little bit skeptical about it. But everyone's going about their daily lives like there's nothing going on. So,
yeah, I've seen some of your like Instagram stories, and there's like literally still heaps of people. Are your kids there? They're on like holidays. Are they on holidays now? Or?
At the moment, yeah. So school doesn't start until the 6th of April, I think.
Yeah.
So everyone's
and that holidays. Obviously, that obviously affects you too, because that's obviously your job.
Shut down for 2 weeks at the end of the school year, so at the start of March, and that affected our pay, so we only got paid 50% for that period. And if school is delayed in April, that means we'll only get paid 50%, so we're a little bit, there's good and bad parts to it being delayed. So
far out, man, that it's so wild. So did you, through all of this sort of stuff, did you sort of contemplate coming home during this sort of thing, or are you pretty set there?
No, I think I was seeing all the stuff that was happening in Australia and was like, Japan seems okay at the moment. I might just stay here.
Yeah, you guys seem so chill. I mean, like around the whole thing. Like,
I don't know if that's a good thing though.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're kind of the same. Like, ours really, like, it shit didn't really sort of get real until about this week. So it was like everyone sort of went about their own thing, like no one really gave a fuck, and then all of a sudden, like, everyone just started like giving a lot of fucks randomly.
True.
So like, yeah, I don't know, but at the same time, like, I mean, you could probably like give me a better insight on this, but I feel like if the government in Japan was to say you need to stay home, a lot of people will do what the government instructs, whereas here we're kind of just like, oh fuck you, you don't control me. I don't even fuck, and then everyone goes to fucking Bondi and just swims in a human soup of corona.
Oh, that's so gross. But yeah, Australia is very much set in their own ways, and I think it is very difficult to tell people what to do there. But here, it's kind of like a collective society, Is that the right word for it? But like,
yeah, I'd say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of cohesive. Everyone's on the same page a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the government was to say like, you have to stay inside, they would. But the thing about the government, or the thing about anything in Japan in general, is that it takes like 50 people to make a decision here. So for them to be like, you need to stay home, it would go through like all these different channels for everyone to like agree before it's actually passed.
Yeah.
So I think that's why things have been delayed, because they're kind of like, oh, let me just ask like three other people first. And
do you think it's too, because it's obviously a very polite and very traditional culture. Like, you know, do you think that might impact how quickly decisions are made? Because there's no, like, there's no Trump Japanese.
Yeah.
It's just like, fuck everyone, we're doing this.
Oh, thank
like,
God.
Yeah,
I think so. They just don't like confrontation. And I think that might be part of the reason why they're kind of delaying a lockdown, because they don't want to be in everyone's faces and being like, you have to do this, because it's not that kind of culture, you know? So
yeah, I have seen like a couple YouTubers I've kind of like followed. They're kind of doing like, they'll go back to like famous landmarks in Japan, and like, it seems to be that even though you can kind of freely do what you want at this stage, it seems like a lot of people are still staying away from those communal things. Like, I think someone was at like Arashiyama the other day and they did a vlog, and it was like pretty much a ghost town, which I found really weird, because every time I've been there, it's been pretty busy. Have you sort of noticed like around like Shibuya and stuff like that? Is it any different? Or
the trains are definitely more quiet. I think the last week it started getting a little bit busier because people were coming out a bit more. But this weekend is actually like the Hanami like weekend. So that's when the sakura are in like full bloom, and that's when everyone has like those picnics underneath the cherry blossoms and stuff.
Yeah, I saw you were there the other
day. Yeah. I had to go.
Oh, dude, as if you wouldn't.
It's like beautiful, but it was honestly like walking through coronavirus, because there were so many people there. And
yeah,
the government's trying to stop people going out this weekend to avoid Hanami parties, because they don't want to spread the virus. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's so odd. And I think because there's no like sort of concise, for example, for us, right? Like I went outside yesterday to just walk to the shops, and there was a part of me that felt like I was doing something wrong. Like I was like, I shouldn't have been out there, because it was so dead, and it just seemed like this probably should, I should probably shouldn't be doing this right now. But in my head, I'm like, I'm literally just walking to the shops. Like I think the parameters around like isolation at the moment are very like vague.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of the same in a lot of other countries that I've seen too. Everyone's kind of like I know America, I was just watching like a Joe Rogan podcast, and in America, they're all kind of just like, like it'll be all right. Like as long as we stay away from each other, but everyone's still out and about, which it's weird times.
Yeah.
Such a weird time. And I mean, for you too, because being abroad and moving overseas, this is such a experience for you that's usually so like, oh, this is amazing, this is cool. And then like, you know, you're obviously having to, I guess you're obviously now almost a citizen there, because you have to do what everyone else is doing, which is like, how's that sort of feeling? Like, do you feel more or less part of like Japan now that you have to do exactly what they're doing?
Definitely more. I feel like I've actually like integrated into society. There's still some things that I kind of push the boundaries on when it comes to life here, because obviously being Australian, I've been like set in my ways for like 25 years. So far so good. I think as long as everyone kind of works together at the moment, it should be fine. But
yeah. It seems like you're really getting comfortable there. Like,
I
was talking to Kia the other day, and I was like just over the like the past few months, like I reckon from the start of like 2020, you've sort of like developed your own sort of like personality in Japan, which is like really cool to see. Like, do you feel like now is that the time, since you've moved there, now is like the time you're kind of like I feel like this is home now, like I feel like I'm home, like
definitely. I think I remember telling you guys, like when I moved over here, I had a bit of like a self-identity crisis or something.
I remember that.
Like it took me a really long time to kind of get used to life here. And I mean, I traveled here before and I loved it so much, but there's a difference between traveling and actually living here and having to like comply with like societal rules and that kind of thing. it took a fair while to kind of like find myself again, but in like the Japanese version. But yeah, definitely this year, after having spent like over a year in Japan now, I've gotten used to like I've got a routine, I've got things that I do, like I've got friends and everything. I feel much more settled here now.
Yeah, it almost seems like you kind of have to work yourself out of that. Like, of course, when you get there first, you're like, oh, it feels like a holiday. And then I guess, like, when you started working, it was like, oh, fuck, like
It's
I need
real.
to like I yeah, like I guess once you add work into it, because I know my mate Kurt, who lived in Canada for a while, like once you add work into the mix and you get that routine of work, it almost you get rid of the holiday thing and you bring in like the routine and this is where I live thing. Do you still find that now that you've got that in you, you still feel like it's exciting? Like,
Oh,
do you
yeah.
still feel like, yeah, like what's the difference between like, the 9 to 5 grind in Australia compared to like doing it abroad? Like, how does that feel?
Well, I'm not sure about actual like 9 to 5 jobs here because my schedule is so flexible. So I work 4 days a week as an English teacher, and each day is different. So one day I might have 3 classes, one day I might have 5 classes, but they're all in the afternoon. So I do a total of 18 classes, which is like 18 hours of work a week, which is amazing. So it doesn't really feel like full-time work. I feel like I've got much more of like a free kind of schedule that I can do whatever I want. Yeah, so I can't really compare it, but I know people that work in actual like Japanese companies here, and it's very much the
Yeah.
stereotype where they work from like 8 to like 10 p.m. if not longer. So
That's
there's a
crazy.
massive
Yeah, 'cause
divide.
they have that the whole like you can't leave until your boss leaves. Like no, like some I was like looking into some stuff and there was like some businesses where it's a little bit more progressive and you can sort of leave when you've done your work, but then there's others that are quite old school and it's like if you leave before your boss, it's like very like really frowned upon.
Well, they're trying to change that at the moment just because there's like the suicide rate is so high here. There's honestly like not a day that I haven't been on a train and had the announcement that someone's like jumped in front of a train here.
Far out,
Yeah. So
man. That's really
there's
hectic.
so many, especially on like the express lines. It's really bad. But the Prime Minister here, Shinzo Abe, I think that's his name, he's trying to change that culture a little bit and kind of reduce the work hours so it's not so hectic on people's lives.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I there was that's one of those like really alarming stats. And for someone who loves Japan and like you being the same boat as me, like who when you're there, like when I'm in Japan, I love it. Like I'm just like I want to live here. And then you hear something like really confronting, like the suicide rates are so like large. You're kind of like holy shit. Like I guess it's that like oh we I guess every country sort of has their issues that they need. That are like big there, like, and that's one that always catches me off guard because it's such like, and the Japanese people, from my experience, are so like nice and pleasant and unbelievably like happy to be around. And then you hear that, you're like, shit. But at the same time, like I said, like I've only traveled there on holidays. You're getting to like experience the living. Like,
Like
do you?
racism is real here. Let me just put that out there.
That's
I've had a very mild case of like racism against me. I've had people like push in front of me in the grocery store and just little things like that. But my friend Phil actually has had like Japanese people spit at him, like just walking down the street.
Really?
Yeah. But then
Far
again, that's
out.
maybe like 1% of the population. Like the rest are really lovely and the rest will actually
And
go out of their way to help.
you think about it here too, and there's like some fuckheads here. Like, I guess there's it doesn't matter where you go, there's always like, I have this theory about like, if you put 100 people in the room, out of the 100 people, there would easily be 2 people who are fucking
Oh,
dickheads.
easily.
Like, 100%. It doesn't matter who the fuck they are. No, that's crazy. So, with your like work, how did you go about getting work in Japan? Because that's a really competitive job. English like teacher there is I've heard it's really competitive. Like they go through a really rigorous process of trying to find, are people good enough for the job or are they suited to it? How'd you find that experience going through that firsthand?
So I think my experience is so unique in the fact that I didn't actually have a degree when I moved to Japan, and that's like one of the prerequisites to getting a proper work visa here. So what I did to actually move over here and get work here is I moved over during like the winter season. So I moved to Niseko for 6 months. So that kind of like got me into Japan. So nearing the end of my season in Niseko, I just started hustling so hard and started applying for like all these English teaching jobs online. I think I would have applied for maybe like 120 and I got maybe like 5 interviews just because I don't have a degree and it was really hard for people to take me on because of that. But I did find a company that was willing to take me on with a working holiday visa. And then that was a process. But they're actually like one of the best companies I think I've worked for. They're really, really good.
What company are they?
World Family.
World Family.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So
there's a couple companies in there that like around Japan that look at, I can't remember the one that I was looking at. No, what was the one you put me onto? Because we had a conversation about it. It was the education one. I can't remember what it was called. I don't know, but there was another YouTuber. His name. Oh, have you got
was it? Like the assistant language, the JET program or something?
JET.
Yeah.
JET, that's the one. Yeah. Because there's a YouTuber abroad in Japan.
Ah, yeah, I love him.
Yeah, yeah, he's awesome. He's like everything about what he does is so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, he started off as an English teacher in the JET program. Yeah. And then he did a video on it saying how like they're really intense about it. So like that's really cool that they kind of took you on even though like, cause I could imagine in Japan that that degree thing is a big thing there. Like, you know, you need a degree.
Well,
so
in saying that, I spent all of last year like hustling. Can I swear on this platform?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Go for it, man.
I spent all of last year like hustling the fuck out of my degree. So I was doing it online so I could finish it. And I actually finished it last month. So that means that I can change my work visa over to like a proper, like more of like a permanent status now, which is so good. But a lot of companies won't take you on unless you're actually guaranteed to have finished your degree or you're on the way to do that or anything. So I was super, super, super lucky that they decided to take me on.
Yeah, no, that's so awesome. Yeah. And especially in a country too that is so traditional like that, it's really nice. And I guess it's refreshing for people who want to move over there to hear that they are kind of getting out of that old school stereotype. Because like, you know, when I was thinking about moving there, because like, obviously I have this thought, you know, I have this thought all the fucking time that I want to move there. But then there's also that small thing where obviously like my lifestyle and the way I teach and stuff like that is very loose and I don't know if that's going to work there. So there would obviously have to be some adjustments made, but I guess it's reassuring for anyone that wants to sort of go there to hear that from someone who's actually been there and have done that. So yeah, that's really cool.
In saying that, I would 100% recommend getting a degree before you come over here because it was hard as fuck. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah. It's, yeah, well, it shows, I guess the cool thing about it is it shows that, you know, hard work, if you do work hard and you do like boss it, like you get stuff out of it, which is cool. You obviously, so we've chatted before and I think a lot of people can, I think if anyone's watched your YouTube channel, which I always like boost up all the time, they kind of can see that like, you know, you've done like bodybuilding and all that sort of stuff. How did you find obviously like going into that sort of, because I mean, maybe I'm just stupid or I just am blank, but I never picked Japan as like a bodybuilding nation. Like what's that like now? Because you've got your like a little gang going on.
Yeah.
Where like,
I've got a little community.
Everyone's fucking jacked, man. Everyone's fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like how did that go? Like,
so I was actually, before I came over to Japan, I was researching hard about like gyms and bodybuilding here because I knew that I wanted to keep it going. One of the issues here with gyms is if you have tattoos, you pretty much can't use like 90% of the gyms here. But once I joined, I started getting into it. And I realized just how big the bodybuilding industry is here. Like it's not in your face, but when you kind of peel back the layers, it is massive.
Yeah. It's almost like more, I guess, more humble. Would you say that?
It's weird. Like you can walk down the street, but you'll never see like a Japanese bodybuilder, but you walk into a gym and they just appear. Yeah. It's like, where do they come from?
It's odd. Hey, they're like rare Pokemon. They just pop out of the ground, man.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But
it's,
Cause I, that's one thing I never saw two things. I never saw an obese Japanese person and I never saw a jacked Japanese person, but obviously I've only, you know, like I've probably collectively been there for like 2-3 months. Mm. Like, so yeah, I guess that's why. So what's it like sort of being, how do I say this? How does it feel being like a chick who's fucking jacked in Japan? Because there's not many girls that are really like, you know, like what's the go there?
So to give you an example, like I recently joined a new gym in Ikebukuro, which is a few stops north of Shinjuku. And it's actually owned by one of the IFBB pros here in Japan. So it's very much like a bodybuilding gym. But in saying that, there's probably only like 10 girls that train there. And I'm one of the only ones that actually has like substantial muscle mass. The other ones are quite small. Yeah. The other day I was doing 220 on the leg press and I could hear these Japanese guys around like the corner being like, oh, sugoi. Like they were, they were like so amazed that I was lifting that kind of weight. So I definitely stand out, and I don't know if that's for the right reasons, because it is definitely more difficult for me here being more muscular than some of these men. So.
Yeah. But do you find it's like, in a way, do you find that it's kind of like you get a little bit of a chip on your shoulder?
Cause I love it.
Fuck yeah. As if you wouldn't, man.
Is it really like, bad to say that I like emasculating some people? Like, is that real bad?
Oh, are you kidding? Mm. I'd fucking love to emasculate people, but I'm fucking look like me, so.
Give yourself some credit.
Yeah, the only thing I've got is big calves. Everyone's like, oh, he's got big calves. I'm like, jealous. Oh, well, fuck yeah. Like, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I got fucking tiny everything else.
Okay, you can give me some calves and I'll give you some shoulders.
Done, man. I need some fucking shoulders. All right. I need some shoulders. yeah, but that's fucking wild. And you met like a really good mate over there. Hey, like, as in like you've just become, did you know her or did you just become sort of friends?
No.
Like, gaijin friends?
Actually, I was looking for a comp coach a few months ago, and my friend Ryosuke, who's a bodybuilder here, he actually found her on Instagram and like linked me her profile. So we started talking, and it turned out that she was actually moving to Japan like a month after we started talking. So we've been hanging out a lot. She's actually, I think it's a WNBF bikini pro. So she's been competing and stuff for years. So yeah, it's been good. We've been able to like bounce off each other and have that kind of similar energy and whatnot. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you find that language is ever a factor? Like, because obviously you've been there for a while, so I've kind of heard you over talking at some of your Instagram stories and stuff. It sounds like you know the basics, like you know how to, like you could probably navigate your way through like a conversation. Yeah. Do you reckon? Yeah,
it's difficult. I can understand maybe like 70% of what people are saying, and I can piece together the sentence if they talk slow enough.
That's pretty good though. Like 70%, like I fucking understand 70% of what people say in fucking English. So like that's a pretty fucking good feat. Like I sit there, like I was in Roppongi and I was fucking blind, man.
True.
Like, we went clubbing one day. We did like 7-Eleven hopping.
Oh god.
And anyway, oh my god, hang on, let me just turn off this. I just still have my Facebook open because we were just talking on that before. Okay, we go. Yeah, and anyway, and I like somehow got through a conversation with a convenience store guy just by saying onegaishimasu and stuff like that. Like when they like chopstick, and then this guy turned around and was like, oh man, your Japanese is really good. I was like, bro, I said 5 words.
Dude.
Like, I said all 5 of the Japanese words I know, and this dude fully thought that I like knew Japanese.
Yeah.
Like so do you think you just like have you studied it at all, or did you just pick it up through sort of learn through doing it? Like how did that go?
Before I moved here, I studied like hiragana, which is one of the three like symbol alphabet things that they have. And I can read hiragana. I can't read katakana too much, but apart from that, like I haven't really done any self-study, and I know I should, which is super shit because I've been living here for like a year and a half now, but I actually live with like 9 Japanese girls in the share house. So when we talk,
I had no idea about
it. Did you not know?
I thought you just lived. I thought that room is just, that was,
oh my God. If I lived in this room, I would
that door,
cry. It's so small.
That's what I used to think. I was like, holy fuck. Kate like lives in the tiniest room. That's so funny. So you obviously have a table and shit outside.
Yeah. We've got like a whole living room and stuff upstairs. Oh my God, no.
That's so funny. Yeah,
oh my God. Fuck.
Man, Kate's going to do so well in isolation because she literally lives in a box.
So true. Yeah.
This is going to be light work.
Great practice.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you friends with your roommates or do you communicate that much with them? Yeah.
So all of them are great, but there's this one girl who, to give you an idea, I don't know if she's racist or if she just doesn't like me for some reason, but
maybe she doesn't like you.
I mean, it could be that. It could just be my face. Who even knows? But I was sitting upstairs meal prepping at like 11 o'clock the other night, and she comes into the kitchen. She turns on the exhaust fan. So it was just like, you know, like really loud.
Yeah.
Makes herself a tea and then just like fucks off. And I was looking at it being like, is she doing that to spite me? Like, what the fuck?
Why? Fuck your meal prep.
Yeah. I was like, how passive aggressive. So aside from that, everyone's great.
That's so funny. Mm. That's so fucking funny. Like, yeah. So when you moved in there, do you feel like you know how you can sense a vibe in a room? Like you just know, do you feel as though when you moved in, like, were they a part of like the whole leasing process, or did you just rock up one day like, hi, I'm white girl and I'm moving in with your bitches?
Yeah, I was like, hey, good same ass. They're like, who's this fucking gaijin? Nah. They were really good about it.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't really want to move.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's too good here.
Yeah, well, I feel like once you're set too, you don't really want to do that process again.
Yeah.
Like that whole, moving in, blah, blah, blah.
And it's a pain in the ass here to move. Like an absolute pain in the ass.
Yeah, what was the leasing sort of process? Because, man, I did it with, like, Kira and I did it, and the whole process made me want to put my fucking head through
right?
a wall. So how was it kind of navigating that in a different language?
So here, because I moved into a share house, it's slightly different. So I just had to pay, I just signed a contract, had to pay like a deposit amount up front. But if you're actually moving into a proper apartment, it's much more difficult. Like you have to pay for, is it like 4 weeks rent minimum, key money, which is like gift money that you give to the landlord, which is usually like 1 month rent. Like fire insurance, all these different things. It actually ends up being like nearly $5,000, $6,000 just to like move in to an apartment here.
Like in Australian? Like,
yeah.
Is that? Yeah. Fuck. So what's that, like 5 million yen? Is that it?
No, it'll be
500,000 yen.
Yeah. Roundabout. Yeah.
Yeah. People take a couple.
But that also, because they don't have anti-discrimination laws here as well. You could get passed for the apartment, but when you actually meet the owner of the apartment, he could be like, you're white, so no.
Holy shit. Wow. Yeah. See, that's part of the country where you're like, oh, holy shit. Like, I didn't realize that still happened. Like, I mean, it's not overtly racist, but like having like that, no, it's not even that. It's like, you can pretty much deny someone based on their circumstances. That's like,
exactly.
Whereas here, we're like, if you go to NRAS apartments, it's like, oh, you're a cokehead.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You smoke crack. Oh, just smoke it inside. It's all
exactly.
Good,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think
that's what, I guess it has its pros and cons with that sort of situation. Like if I was a homeowner or, you know, in any situation, I'd like make sure, like if someone came up like, oh yeah, he can pay rent. I'm like, he looks like he's going to fuck the place up though.
Yeah.
So,
I think it kind of boils down to the fact that foreigners are like transient here. Like they're not, a lot of them aren't permanent residents. So people could just literally get the fuck up and leave. And that puts the homeowners and like the landlords and stuff in jeopardy because of that.
Okay.
So I think that has something to do with it. But yeah, it's a bit shit for people that try, you know, really want to move into a certain apartment and get told no.
Yeah, especially if you're only there for like a short stay too. I can imagine that they would probably be trying to lock in people who are there for a long period of time.
It's difficult if you have a working holiday visa, which is why I moved into a share house because it's one of the only places that will accept me without like a permanent kind of visa.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Crazy. Whereabouts is the house sort of like what area? Because obviously like people sort of, I'm not going to say people, but some people sort of assume like everywhere is like living in Shinjuku. Like what's your sort of area like? Is it very quiet or what's the go with that?
It's definitely more of a quiet area. I'm actually only 10 minutes from Shinjuku on the train. So
Shit.
It's super good if I've been out with like friends in Shinjuku or like Shibuya or something and I can just hop back on the train. Super easy.
Yeah.
But there's everything here. There's like grocery stores, restaurants, Starbucks, like the important things. And Caldi.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Do you know what Caldi is?
No, what's
oh
that?
Oh my God. It's one of like the international grocery stores here. So they sell like stuff from all over the world. And
oh shit, yeah.
I would lose my mind without it. 100%.
Yeah. Well, so do they sell many Australian products or is it more like American sort of stuff?
Definitely more of like American, Canadian, like European stuff, but I can get like my Mexican seasoning and basmati rice and stuff. So I'm done.
That's great. Like literally those flavors. I mean, like every time I come home from Japan and I'm like, and I'm talking like, I'm only there for like 4 weeks, man. And I'm just like, get me some fucking like Mexican seasoning. Like I just want to eat like tacos and some shit. Like I guess that's so good that you can still have that sort of option there.
Yeah.
I guess it sucks. Well, I mean, in a way, when you think about like Australian products, you sort of get a lot of your Australian products through like care packages through people from Australia. Hey, like I noticed you got one the other day. It had like Vegemite and shit like that in it.
Mom and Dad sent me this massive ass box. It's like under my desk.
That's awesome.
I really want to, I'm wanting to do a video with some Japanese friends about like trying Australian snacks. Cause I don't know about you, but I love them. I love them so much.
I was literally just about to ask you. I was like, have you ever got your roommates to sort of try all the stuff?
Yeah, I really want to do it. So I got them to send like Cheezels and salt and vinegar chips and Vegemite and all this, like all those classic Australian things and fairy bread.
Oh, fuck yes. Oh, that's one. Actually, you know, that's one thing I miss. I can't actually have fairy bread, I don't think. And I don't think I can be fucked trying. Because I'm 90% sure the sprinkles aren't vegan. I don't know.
What a stitch up.
I feel like I've just done some research into it just randomly. I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't eat
I feel like fairy bread today.
I'm like, oh, man, I really feel like that fairy bread sandwich. shit.
Damn it.
That's my staple diet, man. I was going to ask you too, how's like YouTube going? Do you, because you, and I've been on you like 24/7 because you were nervous about being in front of the camera. Do you find that it's easier? Like you're finding it's getting easier and easier now that you've sort of doing it more?
It's definitely easier when I'm with someone.
Yeah.
But I've started not giving a fuck now. So
that's the best thing to do, man.
I actually have a vlog that I'm going to be editing after I get off the phone to you. And for the most part, I'm kind of by myself for that. So especially now with quarantine and stuff, I think I'm going to film a lot more of, just like talking videos about Japan. Yeah. Stuff that I can do inside.
Definitely. I feel like as you know, you and me are kind of in the same boat, like everyone's sort of stressing about like, you know, like obviously you got work and stuff like that. That's obviously everyone's going to stress about that, but people are also stressing about like, oh, what am I going to do to kill the time? Whereas like people like you and me, like I know exactly what I'm going to do to kill the time. Like one of the reasons why we sort of did this was because I was curious about like Zoom and stuff. So like doing online podcasts and see how it goes. But like you'd be in the same boat. Like I don't think we'll ever be out of things to do as people who put shit on YouTube, even if it's for just like hobby.
Yeah.
Like there's always shit to sort of create. So it's kind of like a really good hobby to have, especially if you're overseas. Hey?
I agree. Like it was really I'm sure that you felt the same way, but it was really difficult getting into this because I was really worried about what people would think initially.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because I mean, out of all the friends that I have in Australia, I don't think I know anyone that's actually on YouTube, like apart from your podcast. I don't know if there's anyone that has like a YouTube channel, because I know in Australia.
I think Kia's kind of dabbled with it, but I don't think she's fully gone all in with it for like sort of the same reasons. Yeah. Like,
oh my God, but let.
It's.
Huh?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, every man and his dog at my gym has a YouTube channel. So it makes me feel so much better about filming there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool when you find a community. Like I recently just did a podcast with another Brisbane crew that like Big Shitty Life.
Yeah.
Like just being able to chat to them about those sort of things is so nice. It's so refreshing to be like, oh, like you're into the same shit as I am. Like that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's like, that's, and it could go for anything. Like it doesn't matter whether you're a podcaster, a YouTube video creator, I don't know, a fucking rapper. Like even if someone like starts a clothing label, like I think we all sort of know that feeling of starting something off. It's like really cool to find that network.
Yeah, it is. And it definitely helps.
In a way it's kind of like gym as well. Like, I mean, I never really liked gym all that much until I went with like a little crew and now it's like, so it's kind of like that. That's what I sort of liken it to, a bit like that.
Yeah, I agree. So
no, that's awesome.
We're just staring at each other.
This is the one part about like doing podcasts online that I worry about.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard because there's obviously like a delay. Yeah. And like, you think I'm going to talk and then I think I'm going to talk and then we both talk and then...
It's a bit awkward. Yeah.
I know, right? So like with being in Japan, do you find you are more or do you find like with living there, do you find you're more or less likely to sort of do the touristy things? Like, do you reckon you just launched into the touristy things like really early on and now you're kind of like, for example, if I went there and saw like Arashiyama, I'd be like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
But if I live there and I've been there before and I'm like, oh, I could just go there when I want, it's like, eh? Like, do you find that you're still... there's still that element of being a tourist involved? Like, there's that excitement still, or?
The excitement, yes. Like, there'll be times where I'll just be on the train or, like, walking down the street in, like, Shibuya or something and be like, holy fuck, I live in Japan. And I just have this, like, immense, like, feeling of gratitude wash over me. But in terms of, like, touristy things, no. I've noticed that since moving here, because everything is so accessible here, now I'm like, where am I going to go? Like, Korea? Do you reckon I should go to Taiwan? Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't really have that want to go and explore things in my own backyard here because it's like right there and I can do it whenever.
Yeah. Cause you went to Spain as well.
Yeah.
Hey? Like,
yeah.
That was gnarly. Like, you're just like, hey, I'm from Australia and I'm living in Japan, but also I'm going to Spain right now. So
yeah.
Like, I find that so weird in that. So you move away from Australia to like sort of a holiday, working holiday, and then you have a holiday from the working holiday. Like, yeah, it was, because I feel like that would be a weird experience. Like, did it feel weird when you're like, oh yeah, I'm going home, but like obviously coming back to Japan, you're not technically going home.
Yeah.
Like, how was that sort of, that would have been a weird feeling, hey?
It was funny. I was staying in a hostel in Sevilla in Spain, and I was telling the girls in that room like that I actually lived in Japan, and they were like, oh, so you're Australian, but you live in Japan. I was like, yeah, like it's fucking wild, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It feels, I mean, to be honest, Japan has always felt more like home to me, which is super strange.
Yeah, that's kind of cool though. Mm, like,
yeah, I just feel more at home here than I do in Australia. And that's not to say I don't like Australia, but there's just this feeling of like belonging that I get when I'm here.
Yeah, I get like that a little bit too with Japan as well. Mm. Like, I know, like I said, I can't really give it that the perspective of I've lived there.
Yeah.
But like, whenever I'm there, like I had this conversation with my friend Nick. Like, I'm so much more comfortable in, like, I think it's because like at heart, like obviously I'm a big anime person. Mm. I love all that sort of stuff. Like, when I'm there, I'm just like this is me. Like, this is what, like, even out of the clothes I wear, like I wear clothes in Japan and I don't feel weird because it's like, oh, like I can do this. Like, I can wear like, you know, huge shirts and like tight jeans and like not feel weird. Whereas if I went out to like, you know, New Zealand, everyone'd be like, who the fuck is that guy? Like,
it's the opposite for me. It's the total opposite.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, wow.
So
you're like, when you walk around, you're like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, I think my style has kind of, I think last year when I was having that like identity crisis, I had no fucking idea what to wear because the style here is so different to Australia. To be honest, I haven't even shown my collarbones in a year and a half. Like, this shit's risque. Yeah.
Actually, that's so true. Mm. Even down to like your gym outfits. Like, I saw you wearing
that's free game.
Gym top.
Rock it. I go in there with crops and stuff. That's fine. But walking down the street, it's weird. Like, you can wear the shortest skirt possible, but if you're not wearing like a t-shirt or something that's like high neck, like that is frowned upon.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Mm.
You know what? Actually, you know, now that you think about it, now that I think about it, so that night that I went out in Roppongi, I noticed the same thing. I noticed girls, and I'm talking, this is in the middle of fucking winter.
Yeah.
So it's like fucking 5 degrees in Tokyo. Mm. I saw chicks wearing the shortest skirts, but they all had long sleeve dresses.
Yeah.
And I was like, in my head, I was like, what the fuck? And in my head, I was thinking like, oh, it's probably because it's cold. But then I thought like, why are they wearing really short dresses?
Yeah.
So like, that makes so much sense. I was like, oh, fuck, that's wild.
Yeah. So
it's like little things like that you don't think about, hey.
No. But now I've decided that this summer, I just don't give a fuck and I'm going to wear whatever I want because summer here is like 10 times worse than Australia. It's disgusting.
And the humidity is really bad too, hey?
It's so bad. So bad. To the point...
I've seen videos of you where you're just like sweating.
Yeah.
You have sweat coming down your forehead. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, just walking to the train station.
Yeah. Like, I just become one with the sweat now. I'm just like, this is my life now. This is where I'm at. So...
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
You're just becoming comfortable in your own skin, dude.
Yeah. So fuck it. I'm wearing singlets. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. On that too. Obviously, we've had a lot of discussions about this, so we'll keep it as clean as humanly possible.
Oh, no.
You've had a couple interesting stories about your dating life in Japan.
Yeah.
And I've heard many things about it. I thought I'd leave it as a gem to those who get fucking 40 minutes into the podcast, because I figured this would go for like the rest of the time.
Yep.
But you've had some fucking weird experiences with, I'm not just saying just Japanese guys, like you've sort of had experience like dating like fucking completely random like nationalities.
Yeah.
Hey, like what, how's the whole dating scene in Japan go for like a white girl?
Mate, I mean, I'm sure I think if I wasn't a bodybuilder and if I was a little bit more passive, I think I would be okay. But
yeah.
I have struggled. Let me tell you that. I have struggled. It's so bad. There's like three memorable ones that that you know about, I've told you about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't have to go into detail. But
it's so bad. The guy I was talking to for like weeks, and then he moved to a foreign country with another girl. That guy.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. Yeah. The other one that I found really weird was the Tinder one that you had, that you met up with the guy and he had like a suitcase.
Oh, the suitcase guy.
And he wanted to take the suitcase home, and you're like, can't we just have a date? And he's like, no, I need to bring the suitcase home. Like, come with me. And what? Can you tell that story?
Oh my God. Okay. So it wasn't Tinder. I actually,
okay.
I met him at Starbucks.
It's classier than that.
Yeah. Slightly. Okay.
So it wasn't an internet
thing. No.
Okay.
I was sitting next to him at Starbucks one day, and he just started talking to me in English, and I was like, oh fuck, why not? And I remember you guys were constantly telling me, you're like, just try something different. Like, don't always go for bodybuilders, 'cause it's always the same shit. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll give it a go. So we actually ended up meeting one night, at the train station, and he had a suitcase with him, and I was like, what the fuck's this guy doing? So we hopped on the train to Shinjuku, and he was checking into an Airbnb because he was flying out somewhere the next day. So we spent like half an hour trying to find this fucking Airbnb. He gave up, and he was like carrying the suitcase around with him like for the rest of the night. We went to like an izakaya, so like it's like a Japanese pub, do you reckon? Like
it's one of those small like bars where you're only allowed like eight people in at a time.
Just like little snack bars and stuff.
Yeah.
So we went there, and then he like left the restaurant for like 20 minutes and was just like outside, and I was sitting there with his suitcase the entire time being like, what the fuck, am I on a date with this suitcase or what? And he came back in, and then we left, and then we went to Starbucks, and he sat down and pulled out his laptop and was sitting on his laptop for 15 minutes. And here I am with his suitcase. We're just chilling. I'm like, just getting to know his suitcase more than I was getting to know him.
No, because I remember you FaceTimed.
Yeah.
You FaceTimed us, and we're like, what the fuck are you doing? And you're like, I'm on a date.
Yeah.
And we're like, with who? And you're like, I don't know, the dude's outside. He's been outside for like 20 minutes. And me and Key were like, I don't think you're on a date, dude.
No, I think I was just babysitting his suitcase, to be honest. I don't know what the fuck is in that suitcase, but...
Just dead bodies.
Oh, obviously. Had to be. Yeah.
Or drugs. Just like lots of weed.
Oh, I don't think he would have left it with me then, because that would... Yeah. Yeah. But it was so weird. And then at the end, I was like, fuck this, man. I need to go home. So I said I was going to leave. And he's like... I think he was genuinely shocked that I wanted to go, as if he thought the date was going well. And I'm like, who in their right fucking mind would think that went well?
He was probably on the phone to his mate like, dude... I'm fucking in. She's sitting there. She's doing nothing.
Yeah.
I reckon I'm in, man. I'm going to go back in there and just fucking charge on.
But I remember.
And then you were like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
What?
I remember he was like sweating bullets the entire time. And I don't know if it was like nerves or if there was something genuinely wrong with him. But
it was his suitcase.
It's like, don't look inside.
She's going to see all the dildos I have in my suitcase.
Yeah, mate. Who even
Maybe
knows?
he was a Japanese Batman, and that was where his suit was.
Oh, was
like, no one could know.
So yeah, safe to say I shut that shit down real quick. But
yeah, fuck. Oh man.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's probably not the worst date you've ever had.
No. I honestly think that takes the cake.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not too bad then. When you think about like the grand scheme of dating, like the worst one you had is just a dude that made you babysit a suitcase.
That's one to tell the grandkids. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, yes. When I met your dad, he made me sit next to his suitcase the whole time.
Like I could honestly give you details exactly what it looked like. I was with it for that long.
Oh, yeah. Really? Did you sniff it?
Oh, yeah. I was all about it. Just getting up in there.
It's heavy breathing.
I love it.
That's so fucking funny though. But you had some time in when you're in Niseko, obviously. So Niseko is very, if anyone's been to like a snow, like I'm just assuming because I've obviously been to Hakuba a lot, but any sort of snowboarding village is usually very multicultural.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of rent. Did you find that when you went to Niseko, because you obviously went to Niseko first, did you find that you felt as though you weren't really living abroad for a while?
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
There was a time where you were like, am I even in Japan? Mm. Like, yeah. How'd you find that? Because that was obviously the first, you went straight to Niseko. Eh? You didn't really go city and then snow. You went like straight to the snow. Hey?
I spent a couple of days in Tokyo before I went up to Niseko. And that was when I met that guy from the hub. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Oh.
Is it worthy of the podcast?
It's pretty good. No? It's pretty good.
Okay, go.
Okay, so I met these people on the plane when I was going over to Japan. And they were Australian. Yeah. They were like around about my age, I think. And we went out the second night that we were in Tokyo and we went to the hub, which is, full disclosure, I can never set foot in a hub again after this.
Oh,
after
excellent.
This. Yeah. Okay. So the hub is like a chain of like British pubs and they're all over Tokyo.
Oh,
you know those?
I know the hub. Yep. I know. Yeah, yep. Yeah, I know that. And then they usually look like Gillies.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know the one. Yep. And they're always fucking busy.
Yep.
The one in Tokyo Station is fucked.
Yep. Yep. So
yeah, keep going.
We went there and we met these Japanese dudes that were like buying us like triple whiskeys. So like the what are they, rocks glasses? You know, the small glasses?
Yeah, I know. Like they're like short glasses.
Yeah, just like triple whiskeys. So like full whiskeys. So we were just like knocking back these whiskeys and I got absolutely fucked up. And then I met this like salaryman, you know, like the businessman.
Yeah.
I really hope mom and dad are listening to this because this could be awkward. But
excellent.
Hi, mom.
Hey, Mrs. Riordan.
Yeah, got super fucked up. And ended up, you know, one thing led to another. You know where I'm going with this story.
Yeah, need to connect the dots.
Found out the next day he was married.
Oh,
that guy.
Oh,
that
shit.
Guy. And did you know
that
if your husband or like wife cheats on someone, no, cheats on their partner with someone, their wife, hang on, okay. So say a husband cheats on his wife with someone. If the wife finds out about that person, she can actually sue that person that he cheated on her with.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, my fucking God. So anyway, that's why I can't set foot in a hub. But moving to Niseko, it definitely felt like a bubble. Like there was maybe like 90% foreigners and maybe 10% Japanese. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which actually, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all, really. But I think it's a snow village thing too. Like I know a couple of mates that lived in Canada, they were like, they literally referred to like Big White as like the Big White bubble.
Yeah.
Like, cause
yep.
You're just in the bubble and nothing sort of, it's almost, you know, it's almost like you're back at school.
Mm.
Like, you know, there's dramas and people getting with each other that like, oh my God, I can't believe that person's getting with that. And like you
think, have no idea.
But that's sort of what happens with that sort of bubble syndrome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting that sort of happens everywhere as well. So
it was kind of toxic in some ways too, because you couldn't really escape the drama.
Yeah.
But I met some of the most amazing people there and I'm so grateful for that. So
yeah, for sure.
I didn't actually, definitely. I think I skied maybe like two times the entire time I was there.
Really?
Yeah. How shit is that, hey?
That's so weird. Yeah. Is that because of work or just because of...
Work was busy, but also because I was like hustling the fuck out of trying to get a job here.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you... You worked in a resort, hey, like a snow resort?
Yeah. So we worked in Sky in Niseko, which had just been built. So I was working as like a barista supervisor or something, and I was literally just supervising myself because there was no other baristas. But
yeah.
It was good.
That's sick. That's a cool job.
Mm.
Especially for you, like, because you obviously have like cafe background, so that would have been perfect. Like, it would have been anything new. It's all like, yep, okay, sweet. I know I can do this, so I can really focus on like the holiday aspect of being here.
Yeah.
And I guess also at the same time, like, you know, you because I remember talking to you when you left and you were like, yeah, you know, I want to have a good time in Nesca, but I just want to make bulk money for when I like come back.
Yeah.
Was there a moment when you're in Nesca, like, this is very early on, so obviously, like I said, you're very comfortable now, like, you can kind of see it, but was there a moment there when you finished up at Niseko that you were kind of like, do I want to stay? Like, do I want to go home? Like, you know,
no.
you're always like, I want to stay?
Yep. I knew that I wanted to leave Niseko just because, for one, there was no gym. Like, there was a community gym, like, in Kuchan, which is, like, the town nearby. But it was shit. So I didn't train for 6 months. And I think getting to the end of those 6 months, I knew that I needed to leave and go somewhere that was a little bit more populated. But never once.
I guess mentally too. Hey? Mentally. Mentally, like getting, because I know you were so into it when you before you left, to take that thing away. So like, I mean, take it away, like as in you couldn't do it anymore. Like, I could imagine that would have played on you as well.
It was difficult because I had competed like a month before I moved. So my reverse diet was shit. I couldn't do that at all.
Yeah.
And then I found Japanese bakeries and oh my God. You know how good Japanese bakeries are, right?
Oh man, like, I have been fucking tempted. When I was there, insane. Like I was so, like being vegan there, all I fucking wanted was melon.
Oh my God.
I just wanted to fucking
soak
myself in melon bread. Like, I was so keen on it.
Yeah. I am obsessed with, like, the 7-Eleven do, like, these butterscotch pan, which is, like, the round, but they have, like, the layers that you can, like, the really light bread that with, like, the milky butterscotch in the middle. Fuck me, man. It is so good.
Woo! Dude, you know those bakeries in the train station too, where you have the little tongs?
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit.
Have you ever?
They used to do that long, like tangled in donuts, cinnamon donuts.
Yes. Oh. Like the cone almost.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then some of them you can put ice cream in it.
Oh my God. Get the fuck out.
Dude, I remember I had one in Harajuku. Harajuku had, they had the donut as the cone and I don't think it was ice cream. I think it was whipped cream.
Oh.
They put whipped cream through it and then they drizzled chocolate all over it.
Yep.
And it was easily the most amazing thing I've ever tasted in my whole entire life.
Mm.
Like, it was fucked how good it was.
Like, Harajuku has so many good little things like that though.
Oh, yeah. You know? That's a funky place. Mm. Like, that is a really peculiar place. Believe it or not, I never actually, in the first four times that I went there, I never went to Harajuku.
Really?
And like Takashita.
Takashita.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I just say Takashita
Street. Oh my God.
Literally, like I walked down that street and I was like, holy fuck, this is a completely different world. Like there was like cosplay chicks walking around everywhere.
Yep.
And there was like that cotton candy shop that was fucked. Like, it was wild. It's just a different planet.
It's like your stereotypical like Tokyo experience, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I try to avoid that shit like the plague, hey.
I was gonna ask, like, that would be like, fuck, you'd almost be like, the thing I would liken it to is like, if you lived at like Burley or something, you were a surfer.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, all these fucking tourists here, like, go away. Like, it's kind of like that. Because I've heard, like, I was talking to my mate Dyke and he's like, I fucking hate Akihabara. Like, I don't like going there.
I'm the same.
It's like nerdy and gross. I'm like, oh, I thought you would have liked it. He's like, no.
Yeah.
We hate, like, a lot of people do like it, but I don't. I hate it. And I was like, oh, shit.
See, I really like the outskirts of Harajuku, like where Omotesando and like the back streets of Harajuku are, where there's like the thrift stores and the cafes and stuff. Like that part's really good.
There's a couple co-working spaces around there too. Hey, like I've noticed that when I walked through there, but there's a couple of thrift shops down there, which are, thrift shopping in Japan is
dope. Hey,
so amazing.
Yep.
It's easy. Like I think a lot of people assume when they go thrift shopping that everything's going to be like $2, but if you look at it like that, you're gonna have a shit day. Yeah. But like, you can get like, man, I got like a Raiders fucking windbreaker.
That's so
like
dope.
$20 for, yeah, for like $50.
Yeah.
And like, $50 is still expensive, but if you look at like what it is, like, it's a proper like Mitchell and Ness one, which is
that's dope.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I got a acid wash, like an oversized sleeve, like acid wash denim jacket from Kinji, which is in Harajuku. I think it was like 3,000 yen, which is like $45. But I fucking love it, man. Like, I wear it so often, it's not funny, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. I was actually going to ask you about the money thing at the moment. With the Australian dollar being so shit at the moment, is that affecting you at all? Or is predominantly a lot of your cash now, like your cash flows in yen? Like, how is that affecting you with the money exchange?
So I pretty much only use yen here. I actually locked myself out of my Australian account because I forgot who I was and I failed the identity questions.
You got just money sitting in an account here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't access it. I can't access it. So
That's fucking wild.
Every time I need to buy something like through a card. Oh, because that's one thing here. My Japanese bank account, I don't have like a debit card or something I can use to actually like do cashless or like pay online and stuff. Like, it's only a cash card that I have to go to an ATM and do everything with.
Okay.
So every time I need to buy something online, I'm just like, hey, dad, can I send you some money? And he just like takes care of it on his end. So
is online shopping a big thing in Japan? Mm. I've never thought about that, but is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah. Like, especially with like Amazon and Rakuten, which is like the Japanese kind of like Amazon, I guess. If you buy stuff online there, you actually have the option to pay for it at the convenience store.
That's cool.
It's really good. So you can pay like rent, bills, some online purchases and stuff. You can actually pay at the conveni.
Yeah, I saw that you could, like, when I bought my university tickets, I bought them through a conveni. Like, and they were like, oh, you can buy, like, all these things. Like, you can buy fucking movie tickets.
It's so dope. Conveni,
which I found so weird. I was like, fuck, you could literally plan a whole day out just by going to, like...
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, like, a conveni is a convenience store.
Yeah, yeah.
I said conveni once and everyone's like, who the fuck are you?
Oh, my God.
I'm Japanese, actually.
Right, right. I say that to mom and dad all the time. Like, whenever we have conversations, I just like sprinkle in like little Japanese words and stuff so I can culture them.
Yeah, like, look how extra.
Yeah.
Like, your pronunciation is just shitting all over me. I'm like, take a shit street. You're like, all right, we get it. You're from fucking Japan, mate.
Well, like, I'll be lying if I said that the first time I went there, I didn't say that, you know.
Dude, I sit still. I'm like, take a shit, straight. Take a shit.
Do you reckon that's like full Australian though? Do you reckon anyone else actually says it?
I don't think anyone says it like that. But when I read it, like, you know how it's got that big banner?
Yeah.
The first thing I read is like, take a shit.
Of course you do. Just get rid of the E. To be honest, that doesn't surprise me at all, hey?
Nah, I'm just like straight up taking a shit.
Yep. It's good.
Oh, fuck. Hey, man, we've done fucking almost an hour.
Holy shit, seriously?
Yeah, 56 minutes, my dude.
Man, time flies when you're having fun, eh?
Oh, it's fucking good times with the hermit, my dude.
Yep, this has been fun.
But I was going to say, I was going to say we could definitely do another one. If this one goes pretty well, because God knows how this one's going to go.
Yep.
But either way, well, it was all right. Even if it fucks up, I don't really mind, because literally it's like I wanted to catch up anyway. Mm. But I reckon we've done it fine and it's going to work. But yeah, so... before we do anything, do you want to plug any of your stuff?
What, like my YouTube?
Yes, this is where you go. Yeah, I've got all these things. Follow me on Instagram, follow me on YouTube.
Yeah,
fuck, you're such a podcast virgin.
I know, like, this is just a whole new world to me, man. Like, I've only just gotten used to Japan, for fuck's sake.
How good.
Yeah, no, I will be uploading a new vlog in the next couple of days. So I'll pretty much be editing that over today and tomorrow.
Awesome. And the YouTube channel is called Kate Eugene.
Eugenie.
Not Kate Riordan. Eugenie. Kate Eugenie.
Is that what you tried to look for last time? Kate Riordan.
Dude, I looked for Kate Riordan and I found a fucking random girl and she was talking absolute utter nonsense. And I was
That's so funny.
Guys, this isn't it. This isn't it.
But also I'm a little bit more active on my Instagram as well in terms of like stories, like everyday life and stuff. So, I mean, if anyone's interested in getting a bit more of like a first person kind of look at that kind of stuff, then definitely add me on.
Yeah, I definitely Definitely do it, because it's around this time too. Everyone's fucking bored.
Yeah.
So literally, like, you're probably one of the few people who is actually putting up content that's not sort of boring. Mm. It's all like, hey, this is what I'm actually doing, like, right
yeah.
now. So yeah, I would definitely recommend doing that, because I think you're like one of the top ones on my like story thing.
Oh.
I think I know. It's like you and Kia. There you
oh,
go.
That's so
and
lovely.
Then, and then some other fucking random bullshit.
Yep, that's fine.
No, that's awesome. Legendary, Kate. I'm so glad we got to do this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Dude, anytime. Now that I've got this set up, we can do it whenever we want.
I'm totally down for that.
Alrighty, ladies and gents, you know the drill. It's the Inner City Hermit Podcast. Be nice to each other. Be kind to each other. Be good humans, especially around this time. It sucks balls right now. If you like the content, go on YouTube and go follow me on Instagram at Inner City Hermit. I don't know why I'm doing this while you're still
I'm there. Just watching you.
Like, oh, go plug. Alrighty. Legendary. Don't go anywhere, Kate, because I'm still going to talk to you when I'm going to stop recording. Alrighty. Peace out, Kate.
See ya.
Bye.